Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. We have heard already a wonderful word, and we are here to experience God anew, to really experience Him anew. Also, healings are still taking place today. Our brother Müller from Chile, he came today into the office and he said, "Brother Frank, 1 year ago when you were with us in Chile, you were praying for me and God has healed me. Where is the brother?" This is the brother. Remain there. God bless you. A wonderful testimony of that, what God has done. God bless you. Just for your encouragement, for all who have a request, the word of God is true. All the promises are yea and are amen. And we may take God at His word. Just feel free in the presence of God, and may all this building and may we all be really consecrated to the Lord, so that He can come to His right with all of us today. Trust in Him. We have heard it just now, not the message of a man, not the word of a man, but the word of God, the divine message addressed to all of us. Today we welcome especially a couple from far away, from Australia, Sydney, Australia. Be welcome. Where are Brother and Sister Lim? Where are they? Here they are. This is Brother and Sister Lim. They both have Chinese parents and they were born in Singapore and they were studying in England and then they emigrated to Australia. And our brother and sister, they are responsible for the translation into the Chinese language. They translated the first three brochures, Only Believe, Thus Saith the Lord, The Impact of Revelation, and The Time is at Hand. In any case, in the main language of China, this is the Mandarin language, and they are taking care of that also Brother Branham's sermons are being translated into this Mandarin language, which is spoken mainly in most of China and then also in Hong Kong and in Singapore. We welcome you. We are glad that you are here, and may God bless you in a very special way. Then we have brothers here from near and far, Brother Ondrashik from Bratislava, Brother Kupka, Brother Kukachka from Prague, our brothers from Paris, Brother Gilbert, and our brother from Montreux, who is responsible to translate everything into the French language. We are thankful for such brethren. Then we have our brother Elisha here, who was present in the meetings in Bujumbura and especially in Kigali, Where is our brother Elisha? Yes, this is our brother Elisha. A true man of God. We had wonderful meetings in 5 countries of Africa, beginning in Nairobi, then Kigali, then Bujumbura, back to Kigali, and then further on to Nairobi, Dar es Salaam, and onward to Johannesburg, and then onward to Cape Town. So that altogether I visited 5 countries in 12 days, exactly 12 meetings, every Sunday too, and by this the time was redeemed. The smallest meeting in Nairobi, about 140-150 persons, and the largest in Kigali, about 4,500. And we are just so thankful. Our brother, just earlier on, he told me that 2 groups who were not in harmony, that God has given grace and joined them together. And this actually makes me glad. I'm really not responsible for one single split on earth. And when I then even can contribute that the groups are coming together, yes, then let the name of the Lord be highly praised. Many things could be reported. Today, we will not deal with the political part. We are praying for Israel. And we are concerned also about, in reference to the Hamas party, which declares very openly, just like the president of Iran, that Israel should be wiped off the map and instead it should vanish in the sea. People who make ironic remarks about the Holocaust, not just saying, if there would have been a Holocaust, then the Jews would not be here anymore. It just goes too far. What people are daring to do and daring to say. And we are convinced that God will have a reckoning, that He's just watching until the measure is full. And when the measure is full, yes, then it runs over. We also heard about how it is with Tehran. China and Russia will take care together that with Tehran everything will be all right. A very nice thing. The East and the North together and all of the Islamic world. We have written about this. One does not have to go here into details. In any case, we can really observe the end time prophecy. We can see it step by step. And we see how everything what was predicted, how it actually comes to fulfillment. Then we have here paper clippings, which really make one think. With the Hail Mary in the Protestant churches, Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, and Baptist church, everyone shall now take over the Hail Mary. All shall come and worship. 7 pages are written here. How it shall be done, so that the approach between the Roman Church and between all of the big Protestant churches, that it is getting on. And then the nice Hail Mary. And so it is proclaimed here. And you all know what this all means. The daughter churches are returning into the bosom of the Mother Church. And Revelation 17 comes to fulfillment. But one thing more here. Also from the Vatican. It says, not 666 anymore, but 616 is the number of Satan. You all know Revelation 13, the last verse. 666, the number of a man, not of a computer, of a man. And now comes the threat that we may no longer say that the number is 666, as written in the Bible, but 616. Yes, but our decision is firm long time ago. We say that what God has said, and everything else is not for us. And that Judas is now to be beatified. This just goes beyond every measure. The Vatican wants that Judas is now beatified. And then comes the day where he is also amongst the saints and where he can be called upon, so that all who perhaps are about to commit treason, that they are helped in doing so. How far this shall still go, only God knows. Only God knows. And the worst thing is, a high-ranking rabbi, he expressed his desire, shall I say it, shall I not say it, that Pope Pius the 12th is registered in Israel at the Yad Vashem as one of the righteous men of the nations. For all who do not know this, Yad Vashem is the Holocaust memorial place where everything is displayed, what happened in the time of World War II, in the Third Reich, all of the murdering of the 6 million Jews, country, city, and the number of being murdered, everything is listed there on a big board. It can be seen there. And all who were helping the Jews during that time and who helped them in any way, they are registered in the register of honor called the Righteous of the Nations. And now also Pope Pius the 12th shall be among them. And of him it is being said that by keeping silent, he prevented that worse things happened. I don't want to make any comment here, but it just shows that also Jews are blinded, except God reveals himself to them. And so, we just take note of all these happenings. Maybe it fits here now to be just briefly mentioned that we are still planning to make an Israel trip, but only planning. And we are saying, God willing, from the 8th of May up to the 19th of May, the price for the trip, all inclusive, is 1,620 euros. It's not a secret. And we ask all who want to come with us that they still register this weekend. When we don't get the number of persons, then the trip is cancelled and everything else is left to the Lord and left to the future. Once again, we emphasize it. We see in everything what is taking place that we actually entered into the last phase of the end time. And you all know, we never, at this place, we never held one single sermon about Armageddon. And we will not do it in the future. We will not do it. Of this, they are accusing me internationally that I preach Armageddon and that I create an end time mood, not a doomsday mood. But of preaching, of a coming into agreement with God and His Word, that's what's all about. That's what's all about. Not to make the people afraid, but as our Lord said in Matthew 24, verse 33, when you see these things coming to pass, then you know that it is near, even at the door. Mark 13:29, the same. When you see these things coming to pass, then you know that it is near. Luke 21:31, the very same thing. May the Lord God also bless all who are listening, who are watching, also our friends in Chile. Now, some scriptures. We have heard the word of introduction from 2 Peter chapter 1, referring to Matthew chapter 3 and referring to Matthew 17. And to this, it actually must be said something, that nothing happens automatically. And as the American says, that we shouldn't take anything for granted. We must make our personal experiences with God. The Spirit of God must convict of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. The Spirit of God must lead to repentance. When Peter says in the first sermon, repent, this is preaching. What the Spirit works, He convicts of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. This is the effect by the Spirit of God in the listeners while the preaching goes on. The preaching must have an effect. And then happens that, what we read in Matthew chapter 3. And this is the sequence. It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And John baptized our Lord. And after this, the heavens opened. And the Spirit came down. And then came the voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the sequence which must also take place with us. The Son of God, as an example for all sons and daughters of God. Only when we hear the sermon, as already mentioned, being convicted of sin by the Spirit of God, convicted of unbelief, convicted of everything what is not in agreement with God, when we are convicted, and when we experience a true conversion by His grace, receiving the assurance that we really were reconciled with God, that God was in Christ, and that He reconciled the world with Himself, and that the blood of the Lamb was really shed on the cross of Calvary, and that the life which was in the blood, the divine life which was given for us, that it was poured out by the Spirit, and that is being manifested in us by His grace. So, first, hearing the Word. Our Lord was the Word. He didn't need to hear the Word. He was the Word. He just needed to do, to fulfill the righteousness. We must first hear the Word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, this is the sequence. When Peter says, we have heard this voice when we were with him on the holy mount, then this is Matthew 17. And right in Matthew 17, our Lord confirmed the promise from the prophet Malachi. The Bible is in a divine order, not only in the various reports, but also in reference to the word of prophecy. We have it here. In Matthew 17, we really have the wonderful report of that, what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. James, John, and Peter, they went together with the Lord, and behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Matthew 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice sounded. I like this word, sounded. A voice with a sound. A voice with a sound. A voice sounded out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And now it comes. Now we are placed into the test whether we really hear him. Let us read verse 10 and verse 11. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? This is the question. The disciples just saw Moses and Elijah on the mount. And Peter wanted to build three tabernacles, one for the Lord, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So real were Moses and Elijah together with our Lord there on the mount. And then the question addressed to our Lord. And please, once again, hear ye him. This was the answer out of the cloud. Hear ye him. The confession to our Lord does not help anyone, except we hear to that what he has said, and except we believe what he said. And therefore, in verse 11 comes, of course, the answer. And Jesus answered and said unto them. Please compare this with verse 5. Hear ye him. And now he gives the answer. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. What now? Who is ready to hear it? Most people, they don't want to have anything to do with this. And then they, of course, will have nothing to do with it. And they're saying, all is fulfilled already. But we have the respect before God and His Word. When He says in one verse, for the future, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things, then this is Malachi 4, verse 5. And this is true. But when he refers to John the Baptist, then he of course can say, Elijah has already come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they wished. Both is true. John came on the scene in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. But this did not annul what the Lord promised, that Elijah would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, how important it is to read God's Word precisely and to leave one's own thoughts at home and to place ourselves into the thoughts of God. Because thus it is written in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. We must receive God's thoughts into us. And this happens really only by revelation. I've said it last Sunday in Zurich in reference to three places in the Old Testament, which then are repeated in the New Testament. And I would like to read them just very briefly, and then we go on into our word observation. In Psalm 40, we read from verse 6, Psalm 40, from verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then I said, behold, here I am. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. This time, this statement stood out to me. Behold, here I am. Behold, here I am. There was no other one who could step into the breach. No one was there. In the volume of the book it was written. And now, he was come, of whom it was written that he would come. Now He was come. Behold, here I am. But when we go to Hebrews chapter 2, then we have really the wonderful addition. There's not only written, behold, here I am. There's written that what belongs to it. That what belongs to it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. This is Psalm 22, verse 22. And then we read in verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, here I am. And here the sentence doesn't stop. Behold, here I am, and the children which God has given me. Something very wonderful. Old and New Testament in a harmony. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 from verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law in my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord, who hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him. And now listen closely. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me. Now just be honest. Who of us would have found it if we would not find it again in Hebrews chapter 2? Behold, here I am, and the children which God has given unto me. Just half of a verse was enough. The second part, we are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwelleth in Mount Zion. Bible prophecy is so veiled in, it must be revealed. There's no other way. And when we read then in Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews 2, from verse 6, oh, maybe from verse 9, Hebrews 2, from verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And now comes verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. after he brought many sons unto glory. On the cross of Calvary, a full redemption work has taken place. For all the sons and daughters of God, the price was paid. And the Son of God has many sons of God, sons and daughters of God. In the eyes of God, he brought them already unto glory. In verse 11, Hebrews 2, from verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And our Lord said it especially after his resurrection. He said, go and tell my brethren, I go before them into Galilee. I ascend to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. He, the firstborn, has given himself for us, has redeemed us. Now, brothers and sisters, it's about more now than just to preach redemption and forgiveness. It is about that all who truly experience the grace of God, who receive forgiveness, who are reconciled with God, all, that they are sanctified in the truth, because without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And therefore, is the calling out of the bride church the command of the hour. The last divine message, and this in connection with Matthew 25, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. In connection with this, the build up upon the original foundation, the building up of the true church of Jesus Christ our Lord. All in all denominations have the right to lay their own foundation, to build their own building day and night. This they can do, they can continue to do, until the Lord really calls them. But the Church of Jesus Christ has a totally different task, namely, to return to the beginning, so that everything is being restored again. To this, I would like to read from the Old Testament how God was with them, how he was with them whom he called back after the 70 years of the announced captivity came to its end. And when the people of Israel returned from captivity, 2 Chronicles, last chapter, 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished.
Erfüllung in Erfüllung ginge, regt
the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. And then we read straight what he said and what happened afterward. Ezra, chapter 1, verse 3. Ezra, chapter 1, verse 3.
Wer also unter euch aus allen, wer also unter euch,
who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. What stands out for us here? Each one of you who belongs to God's people, let him go up to Jerusalem, to that city which God has chosen. Because from Jerusalem the teaching shall go forth, and the word of God from Mount Zion. So, if we are now coming out of the Babylonian captivity, then please not establishing new organizations, but to come back to Jerusalem, back to the beginning, so that the Lord can build and complete his church. In Ezra, chapter 5, we read in verse 11. Ezra, chapter 5, verse
11.
And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. Have you heard it? The answer is, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and are rebuilding the house of God. Not servants of men, not the building of a church, but the building of the house of God upon the original foundation in Jerusalem, the city which God has chosen. This is now repeating. Israel is gathering. The temple will be rebuilt. But before this happens, the church which came into existence also in Jerusalem, please tell me, where was our Lord crucified? Where was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Where was the founding of the New Testament church? Was it in Tel Aviv or in Jericho? No. In Jerusalem, in the upper room, where the people of God were gathered and where the kingdom of God broke through and where the salvation of God was given to mankind. So, both. The people of Israel, as the natural chosen people of God, and the church from all peoples, tongues and nations, both has its beginning there. The one in the natural realm and the other one in the spiritual realm. But already at Pentecost, 16 different languages, different nations were gathered in Jerusalem. And they said, we all hear them, each one of them in his own language in which we were born. God has taken care of that on the founding day of the New Testament church, all came together from near and far to experience the grace of God personally. Brothers and sisters, it is repeating in our time. The church of Jesus Christ is being built up anew upon the same foundation which was laid at the beginning. That everything becomes again as it was at the beginning. We all believe that the temple will be rebuilt, because it's written like this in the prophet Ezekiel, in the prophet Zechariah, in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. It's of course written that the temple will be rebuilt. But now it is really about the temple of God, about the church from all peoples, tongues and nations. And we're not coming together to hear something, but to hear the divine message for this time. And how often shall I say it? According to the latest stage, which is more or less the same in the past years, we have 347 different Christian churches and denominations. But only one church of the living God, only one church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, we were all reading it, that our Redeemer brought many sons unto glory. And therefore it says in Ephesians 5, verse 27, that our Lord will have a church without spot and without wrinkle. A church redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, with forgiveness, with reconciliation, with grace and salvation. A church which made all these personal experiences with God until the voice sounds, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." This is actually Acts chapter 2. And it doesn't make sense to just read verse 38. One must read verse 39 and at least up to verse 41. Because in verse 39, is the confirmation of from verse 38, "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." When he called us in this time as people who were chosen from before the foundation of the world to see the glory of God, brothers and sisters, then we have the right to every promise. And by this, it actually starts. Because only when the church was endued with the power from on high, then the gifts and fruits of the Spirit can be manifested. Before that, we try and make efforts, sometimes with success, sometimes not. But then comes the fulfillment, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Then comes the divine life out of the vine. It comes into the branches. And then it is being manifested. And to this, we must now come. That we not only observe and look at God's word, but that we really experience it in reality, just as it was left to us. Who is for it? I think we all of us, of course, all of us, we are for it. In Ezra, chapter 7, we read also the second part from verse 12. Ezra 7, from verse 12. The King of Kings unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace, and so forth. Here we have a word referred to a man, a word which one hardly can apply like this. Ezra, who is a perfect scribe in the law of the God of heaven. All good things and perfect things comes from God. And when God appoints someone, then it is not the patchwork of a man, but piece by piece coming to perfection, into that what God revealed to us. We believe that God's word and God's will was revealed. And we believe that apostles and prophets did not bring us some patchwork, but left to us the perfect word of God. What Isaiah said is the perfect word of God. What the prophets said was not the opinion of a man. It was God's word. Perfect word of God. The same with the apostles. It is the word of God which was left to us. And when Paul speaks about that he came to know the mystery by revelation, then we know what he is talking about. Revelation is between God and a man. Revelation cannot be passed on. Revelation must come from one fountain from which we drink, and this is really given to us by His grace. And so we believe that God always had His men. And when we say, when we humbly say that God, in our time, He used the most simple man in our time, who didn't even speak a correct English. Such people are called hillbillies in the English-speaking countries. A man who just speaks like it comes over his lips. And God has used such a man to reveal His perfect word, which remains forever, with all the promises which belong to it. And the same God watched over us, who we believed the divine message and has given us the same revelation. Just be honest. That was what was revealed to Peter at that time in Acts chapter 2. Was it revealed to us or not? It was revealed to us in the same way as it was revealed to him. Just go to all the other scriptures. Go to Paul. When he speaks about the return of our Lord, be it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 or in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 or the other scriptures, just be honest. Has God not revealed the same to us what he revealed to him? Has one word remained in darkness? Has God not revealed his whole counsel? This is God's work in us, not the work of men. When people are sitting at the feet at some Gamaliel, this is one thing. But when they are sitting at the feet of the Lord, this is a completely different thing. Please, please remember, all ye who you belong to his people, go ye up to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of your God. Namely, upon the old foundation upon which the first house was standing. What shall happen with us, all ye who you belong to God's people, who you really became children of God? Ye, you are spoken to and addressed by God. All the others, they are bypassing it. Just speak with any preacher or evangelist or charismatic person about the promise for this time. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Yes. With this we can become nothing in the eyes of those people. They all of them, they have a full program, but so full that nothing has space anymore. I remember it when I was in Taipei together with Brother Maynard. The charismatic leader, he said, we are so glad that you have come, but I must tell you that we need at least 2 or 3 hours for our singing and for our praise and worship. And we don't know whether there will be still time left for the preaching. And when I then said, you can still sing later on, give room to the Lord and to the Word, then they were just shrugging their shoulders and they continued. Brothers and sisters, when we say it here very clearly, then with sorrow in our souls, the enemy managed to entangle the people into so many programs that they don't even have time to hear the word, but are continuing with their programs. How great will the disappointment be at the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Now the places in the New Testament to show us that we are the house of God. You all know the word from Hebrews chapter 2. Here we are told, it's actually Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, chapter 5 and 6. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken afterward. In the law, many things are written. It was about that, what was to be spoken afterward. Then we read in verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. God's house are we. He builds his own church. He is the cornerstone, and we, as the living stones, are builded up unto a habitation of God in the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, this is not being boastful if we refer to God's Word and if we identify ourselves with the Word. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, there it speaks of the house of God, of the church, of the living God, which there is the pillar and foundation of the truth. How often shall we say it? In the church of the living God, not one single interpretation has any space. Only the original word of our God, the divine original seed of the word, is being sown, as true as Jesus Christ our Lord was the seed of God, which was announced from Genesis chapter 3, 15, up to the last promise in the Old Testament. As the Son of God was the pure word, so all sons and daughters of God are not a mixture. They are the pure word seed. We receive the word, and the word comes up in us because we believe it. Also this, we have said many times, the germ of life is in every seed, but first the seed must be sown, and then the rain must come, and then the seed must die. And only if the wheat corn dies, then the germ of life, which is hidden somewhere on the inside, it then comes forth, and the harvest is here. Brothers and sisters, this is the plan of God with the church. In the Word and through the Word, God has given us His Word as a guideline. Be honest, what good is it for the people when they say loudly, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path, and the blind continue to lead the blind? What good is it for a man if he recites John 8, verse 12, where our Lord says, He who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. One can decorate himself with scriptures from top to bottom and still having nothing to do with the actual matter. And therefore, Therefore, God is calling his people out from all peoples, tongues, and nations to acquaint us with the word, with the divine seed, and to let us have part in whatever he promised. And whatever he's doing right now, don't be ashamed. Confess it, if it must be, and if there is an opportunity to do so. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the promises which God has given. Don't be ashamed of him whom God used. God always used the lips of men to address his word to his people. Also, this we have said many times. Whoever believed Abraham believed God, because God was speaking with him. Whoever believed Noah, he believed God. Whoever believed Moses believed God, because God was speaking to them. God sent him. Whoever believed Elijah, he believed God, because he was the prophet. Whoever believed John the Baptist believed God, because it were men of God who spoke by the commission of God. And the important thing was always the divine call and sending. No prophet and no apostle ever called himself or sent himself. They all could look back to a day, to a direct experience where it happened. Let us summarize of what it's all about. We could read from 1 Corinthians 3. I've laid the foundation, and no other foundation can be laid than that which was laid. We could read from Ephesians chapter 2 up to verse 20 that the church is being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. We could read Acts chapter 2, verse 42. As it happened to me in Nairobi, I've said it to you. One day, I will bring with me that little tray with all the many glasses. I think about 40 glasses. A tray with all these glasses. And yet, the man was reading Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles, in the breaking of bread. He didn't have any bread. He poured out a bag of wafers, and that was it. And he didn't have any cup. He had that tray with all the little glasses. I have it in the office. I wanted to have it as a souvenir, and I got myself one. Yes? What good is it if one reads the word of God and not even thinking about to do according to the word? And therefore, because we want to be ready at the return of our Lord, it is our holy duty to preach the word in the original, back to the old foundation, back to the doctrine of the apostles and prophets, back to the beginning. Also this, we say worldwide, the last sermon, which is inspired by the Spirit of God, must be as the first was. And when today there is a man of God, his preaching must agree with all the men of God. It's not to be rude here. It's really not to be rude here from us when we say that a so-called apostolic creed, which was formulated more than 300 years later, and yet it is called apostolic. Then we must have the freedom to say Athanasius had no idea of the apostles, and all the others also not. All of the 250 persons who were joining the council at Nicaea and were discussing their proposals, all of them, they had no idea what an apostle actually is and what the apostles have taught. The same was in Chalcedon 381. And one can compare these two creeds. One is short, one is long, and at the end, it is called the Nicene Chalcedonian Creed, which all the churches, regardless of what direction they are, also Pentecostal churches. I've visited Pentecostal churches. There, right at the entrance area, there was a big board with the Nicene Creed. When one entered, it was on the left side, so one had to pass it. A big sign, the Nicene Creed. Let me say it here very clearly, not to criticize. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, being built upon the original foundation, have nothing to do with a Nicene or Chalcedonian creed or any creed. Our statement of faith is the Holy Scripture. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's how it is written, and by this it remains. You all, who you were pardoned by God, and you who you belong to God's people, and who heard His voice in this time, come back to the Word, to the doctrine, to the practice which went forth from Jerusalem, and then going on to Samaria and Judea and into all the world. That's how our Lord promised and commanded it, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then into all the world. Even today, we have the same preaching. Just one more thought. The Church of Jesus Christ does not fit anywhere. In January, we had everywhere the so-called prayer week. Everywhere, all were coming together. And they were praying for the unity of the Christians. To us, it is about the unity with Jesus Christ. Father, you in me, and I in them, so that we may be one. It's close together, and it sounds good for all who do not know the difference. For us, who we received open eyes, for us, it can be seen. We notice it. But the whole world lies really in wickedness and doesn't know it. Go to the times of Ezra. The people returned and were rebuilding upon the old original foundation. How God gave a perfect teaching on earth. So we can also say today, God has revealed to us His perfect and everlasting Word. And this Word will accomplish for what it was sent for, in all who believe it, who receive it. And then God comes to His right with all of us. To Him, the faithful Lord, be the thanks for it. Today I would like to suggest that together we will thank God. No one needs to get loud. Someone was here a bit too loud just before. No one needs to make himself heard above all the others. Let us find also a nice harmony in prayer. Really, worshipping in the Spirit and in the truth. And God will work everything else in us by His grace. To Him, the Almighty God, be the praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up. Maybe the two sisters have a song which we can hear, which can tune us a bit more into prayer. And then today we will really thank God with all our hearts that He has pardoned us in such a way.
Winde wehen über mein Herzenzelt, Gottes Augen durchschauen die ganze Welt. Er weiß all mein Denken und mein Tun. Ich darf still in seinen Armen ruhen. Lass die Stürme toben und die Winde wehen. Ich schau nur nach oben, wo die Sterne stehen. Einmal ist zu Ende aller Kampf und Streit, dann bin ich bei Jesus in der Herrlichkeit. Eins versank ich, tief in dem Sündenschlamm, plötzlich hört ich das Kreuz vom Kreuze stamm. Für mich armen Sünder starb der Herr. Welche Gnade, Herz, was willst du mehr? Lass die Stürme toben und die Winde wehen. Ich schau nur nach oben, wo die Sterne stehen. Einmal ist zu Ende aller Kampf und Streit, dann bin ich bei Jesus in der Herrlichkeit. Eine Stunde schlägt bald für groß und klein, dann wird Gnade nicht mehr zu finden sein. Dann wird suchen, wer es jetzt verschmäht. Freund, doch hör es, dann ist es zu spät. Lass die Stürme toben und die Winde wehen. Ich schau nur nach oben, wo die Sterne stehen. Einmal ist zu Ende aller Kampf und Streit, dann bin ich bei Jesus in der Herrlichkeit.
Dankeschön. Bald, ja bald, oh wie schön, können wir den den Chorus noch singen. Bald, ja bald, oh wie schön.
Bald, ja bald, oh wie schön, wird in mir auch dort jubelt ein Kind. Bald, ja bald, oh wie schön, wird in mir auch dort jubelt ein Kind.
Brüder und Schwestern,
Brothers and Sisters,
lasst uns heute
let us today believe with all our hearts, and let us take God at His word, and let us belong to those who either have themselves needs, who are coming with a burden, coming to Him, or coming to Him with the needs of others. It's written in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, well known to all of us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Question: who is depressed today? Who is heavy laden? What is your burden? What weighs you down? Let us bring together the burden to the Lord. All your cares cast upon Him. He cares for you. I didn't say this. This God says in His word. Let us start to really believe biblically, to act biblically. Come unto me, all ye. Not to a man, not to the preacher, not to the evangelist. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One question, and then we sing Only Believe. Who is weighed down? Who is heavy laden? I'm sure there are some in our midst. Let us receive it today by faith. And let us come to the Lord. Let us leave everything to Him. He will make it well. Let us sing Only Believe. Only Believe. How many believe what we have sung? It is of course the promise. Behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world. Coming from His lips. And we have the promise where two agree in whatever they ask, it shall be done for them. Let us today believe. Let us ask in faith, and let us take God at His word. Maybe one more scripture belongs to it, from Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11, the well-known scripture, verse 24 and 25. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have anything against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Let us today do as God's word says it here to us. Then the answer of our prayers will come. There's no other way. These are promises which God has made in His word. Let us together pray. Let us believe and let us receive. Beloved Lord, you ever faithful God, we thank you together for all the promises which are yea and amen. We thank thee that you are today in our midst, that you have today spoken to us through thy word. Today we believe as you have said it, and we ask for forgiveness, for grace, for salvation, and we are forgiving all. We are forgiving all who trespassed against us. We are forgiving all with all our hearts, and we are asking, forgive us, be merciful to us, give healing, deliverance, work miracles. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank thee for all the blessings, for all the answers of our prayers. Already now, we thank you because you did it. And all the people say amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Receive it from God. By His stripes all are healed, whom we brought to the Lord today. He became surety for it. To Him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor and glory forever. Hallelujah. Let us sing before we sit down. Thou art worthy.
Das teure Gottesland.
Amen. You may be seated.